your energy level and health are not where they should be, tune into Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with Dr. Ann Deatley. Our program will showcase experts from the field of energy medicine. And most importantly, we'll show you how to repattern and optimize your energy flow for optimal health and wellness. Now, here is Dr. Ann Deatley.
Hello, you are here with Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with Dr. Ann Deatley, the Radiant Energy Doctor. And today's topic is Awaken to Quantum Age Thinking, Part 2. We had so much to discuss before with Diane Collins that I invited her back because this is amazing work that she's done. So I'm so excited. So just to give you a little bit idea about what we're going to be talking about, being awake means you understand the quantum universe. Being awake means you are living the principles of quantum physics. Being awake is living in the quantum age and realizing the real world is beyond the four dimensions and five senses. Being awake in the quantum age means there is a new way of thinking that helps us transcend limited thinking and to be able to create a dream life. Awakening can only be a direct, personal, present moment experience. Leaps of consciousness helps us to realize that changes can happen in an instant. Quantum think is about training your mind and developing intent. When you quantum think, you think fully dimensionally. Quantum think is tapping into the wisdom of the universe and infinite intelligence. Quantum think is knowing how to be healthy in all your dimensions and transforming negative experiences into positive ones. Quantum think is transforming, optimistic, and life-enhancing. When you master your mind, you master your life, and you live radiantly. And as I said, we have this wonderful world thought leader really out there who has done put some really some very difficult subjects together, philosophy and psychology and physics, so that we can really understand living at a higher potential. Diane Collins, she's a graduate of University of Miami in philosophy and psychology, and she's had a lot of different kinds of experiences. She's a corporate manager, award-winning photographic artist, video producer, and a consultant to business executives and entrepreneurs. And all of these contribute to her, contribute to her gift of originality and to express complex universal subjects in clear and powerful ways. As I said, she was one of the foremost thought leaders of our time as a leading authority in this new worldview thinking, and she's author of this highly acclaimed and award-winning bestseller, Do You Quantum Think? New Thinking That Will Rock Your World. And this book is dedicated to people living spirited, joyful, and masterful lives through leaps in awareness and new thinking. And this Quantum Think is designed or founded by Diane, the Quantum Think for living the highest and best in everyday practical life, where she integrates science, philosophy, and spirituality, and drawing on sources that range from cutting-edge scientific innovations to the wisdom of the greatest spiritual leaders. Welcome, Diane.
Thank you so much, Anne. It's such a pleasure to be back with you. We were very involved in our conversation, and it's just, I'm really grateful to be here with you.
Good. So let's start with why you are so curious about the quantum universe.
Well, I'll tell you what happened is, as I was on my quest at an early age, in my, you know, teens, 20s, I knew that a real leap for humanity would only come from an awakening in consciousness, as I'm sure that you and everyone with us right now is so aware of that. In some way, even if we've never articulated it, even if we've never even said it to ourselves, There's some experience that we all have of that, where, okay, wake up, you know, and we know all the great masters have said, wake up, you know, what did they mean, you know, wake up out of this conditioning, you know, wake up out of any limited automatic patterns and, you know, behavioral or thinking patterns or even emotional patterns, wake up out of beliefs that separate us. So I think, you know.
And limit us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In essence, that's what they meant. But along the way, and I thought, well, you know, well, how's that going to happen? And how is this awakening going to finally happen? Not just for, as I call in Do You Quantum Think, the spiritual elite, you know, the small groups. We know there's always been the small groups of people throughout the evolution of humanity, as we know it in recorded history, at least, where they were seekers, they were connected, they did have the understanding of, you know, divine wisdom and revelation. And yet, for me, it's like, well, why can't we all wake up? And isn't what that the great masters were actually saying to us? That, you know, why would it be that only a certain few, you know, only the
right.
Buddha, only the Christ, only whoever you want to mention in your tradition. It couldn't be only for that, those few people. It had to be for all of us.
Mm.
And so along the way, I came across the quantum physicist. And in particular, what stands out for me is the book, The Tao of Physics by Fritjof Capra. Are you familiar with that book?
Yet? I'm not. I'm just writing that down as I have
oh.
not. Yeah.
Oh, it's like, it's a classic. Uh-oh, I think it means I'm older than you are. But anyway, you know, the Tao, T-A-O, the Tao
yeah.
of Physics. And in that book, which I read many, many years ago, so I don't remember it exactly, but the essence of it is that all of a sudden, he was acknowledging that in the discoveries of quantum physics, we're now beginning to verify what the spiritual knowledge was, what this true wisdom was, that we do live in a multidimensional universe, you know, of both the seen and the unseen worlds. It's nothing, you know, we could call it mystical, but it's nothing. Or we can call it mystical, we can call it mysterious, but it's nothing, you know, out there. It's just scientific fact. And that we are interconnected through this field, which I like to call a quantum field for short, but what is the field? It's a field of energy. It's a field of intelligence. It's a field of awareness. And anyway, and it's also called the Akashic Field. And the great thinker of today, Irvin Laszlo, he is really talking about this, using that Akashic Field to have people realize that in the modern science, that they are proving over and over again the actual, the real connection, mind to mind and mind to matter connection, and the real influence that we have, that are the nature of our intent, how we place our attention, awareness, and energize and connect, that it this has real impact in the world. And particularly when we're doing it consciously, is how, what I would say. So this is where you develop the coherence. So anyway, along the way, I started coming into these principles, these quantum principles. Now, the funny thing is that I never actually studied physics in college of all the courses I took in graduate school. That was not one of them. And then when I left, that was all I was interested in, theoretical physics, because honestly, I don't know the technicalities and the mathematics and the equations of it. Because my interest, Anne, as I know yours is, is, you know, how do we live this knowledge? How do we update the way we are in life with one another? How do we become these masterful master beings? And so whatever helps us. So what occurred to me is that, you know, maybe I wouldn't be able to go into the world and reach the mainstream or reach, you know, corporate culture, you know, going in and start talking about spirituality at that time. Now, today it's different, and there are many books being written, right, spirituality in the corporate, in the workforce and all that, in the workplace. And that's
I still don't think it's pervasive in the corporate world, though.
It's not. It isn't pervasive. And, you know, my husband, Alan, who's my partner in everything, as you know, in business, and we work in all, you know, not all of the, but major corporations are generally our clients over the years. And there's still, you know, we're working with the leaders. And the great thing is that once you start speaking quantum thinking into the field of that corporate culture, it's, you know, people immediately respond. So it isn't that there's anything wrong with any of us. There's nothing wrong with the corporations. There's nothing wrong with any of the systems. It's just that we're ready for this leap in consciousness. So what I realized is that I could use the language of science. I was sort of like a trickster, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not really, you know, in the good way, of course, with the highest intent. But to, instead of going in and talking about, you know, love and peace and spirituality, which are all we want and we are, but I could go in and say, you know what? We've all been conditioned by this old world, industrial age, very limited view of reality, the view of reality of the physical realm where in the physical we all do look separate. We really did want to predict a control in an either or cause and effect way. And, you know, all the ways that that industrial age set of beliefs and assumptions, many of which have been proven wrong, incorrect, by quantum scientific discoveries. Mm. So, but we're still, it's like,
we're still in that mentality though.
Right. Yeah. We're out of sync. You know, it's like, we're in this quantum age, but our thinking is still very much under the influence of the industrial age. And, of course, this is what produced most of our societal institutions in the developed world. So that is why we see in the educational system that I like to always create it as, it's happening now, but we're, you know, we haven't seen. I didn't grow up in an educational system where I learned about the faculties of mind, intent, intuition, resonance, subtle energy, you know, radiant energy, how we get ourselves into a state where we are in this very high frequency, radiant, as radiant beings, where we're emanating the highest of our nature and where we're attracting that. So we're not learning that in school. I mean, hopefully now they're teaching more kind of positive stuff. But that's why, because the industrial age shaped the thinking that created those institutions. You know, the judicial system. You're guilty or not guilty. It's not like a discussion of how did, you know, everything is taken piecemeal. That's the reductionist way of thinking, where you're looking at things in isolation or in the body, you know, your field and this show about, you know, health and well-being, where you look in the body at isolated chemicals or transactions, and we're not, the thinking did not give rise to looking at things in this holistic, you know, whole is greater than the parts way. So that's really what happened, is that I realized that I could use these more accurate and up-to-date quantum discoveries, and we could, of our own volition, with a consciously enact, to catch ourselves up to thinking in sync with these more accurate and up-to-date principles, and that I could use that language in my work in quantum thinking, which is a system of thinking that we trademarked in 1997 as a system of 21 distinctions, I call them, principles and practices for the mind and awareness, because my whole mission is, how do we go from knowing it to living it? So one way is you see it as a system. You understand how it works together. You bring this into your awareness so that you're bringing the fullness of it, the totality, the wholeness of it, into yourself. Well, it's already in you. What you're doing is you're presencing it within yourself, like connecting to it in as a whole system, so that that in itself enables the leap, what I really literally mean as a quantum leap in consciousness.
Wow. So that's, well, so we're going to have to break, but when we come back, let's at least talk about one or two of those distinctions that you, that are under the umbrella of quantum thinking.
Great. Love to.
Okay. We'll be right back.
Helping you make informed decisions for your life. This is Voice America Health and Wellness.
Why do people behave the way they do? The study of human behavior is one of the most interesting facets of life. Human behavior gets played out in a limitless number of ways. Now, there's a radio program that explains the why and the how of what we do. Human Behavior, What a Trip, is hosted by Dr. Jonathan Brower and will include interesting guests as well as call interaction from people like you. Let's have fun with this together. Listen every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Voice America Health and Wellness.
If you're looking for answers and solutions, you don't have to look to expensive treatments, consultations, and methods. All you have to do is listen to your connections. Every week, the Dr. Melanie Show will teach you how to do just that. Dr. Melanie Barton will share her gifts and talents and teach you to do the same. And in doing so, find the solutions to the issues in your life that you truly need. You'll learn about holistic and practical health in six key areas. Discover the Dr. Melanie Show, Thursdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with your host, Dr. Ann Dietley. If you have a question or comment for Dr. Dietley or her guest, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to radiantenergydoctor@gmail.com. Now, back to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health.
You are back with Energy Medicine Optimum Health and Dr. Ann Dietley, the Radiant Energy Doctor. And did you notice that Diane is using the word radiant? I love it. So, Diane, let's talk about one or two of those distinctions that are a part of the quantum thinking. I know we don't want to go through the whole 21 because we want people to read the book. And I highly recommend this book, Quantum Thinking. Do you quantum think?
Okay. Do any of them stand out for you?
No, I'm going to let you choose.
Okay, there are one or two on my mind, but there's one distinction that I call the four aspects of knowing. And I really like this. I like this distinction because it kind of wraps everything up. Now, I just want to say the very first principle is called holistic and holographic, because this is fundamental to everything in our universe. It's a universe of whole systems that are operating holistically, which means everything is interconnected, right, and interrelated. Everything influences everything else. And holographic, which means the whole is contained in every smaller aspect of itself. Of course, coming from the idea of a hologram, when you cut the negative, that each piece of the negative contains the whole image when a laser light is shown on it. And there's a great quote from Kabir, who was an ancient Indian, Persian, you know, questionable where he was actually from. But anyway, and he said, most people know that the drop is in the ocean, but many do not realize the ocean is also in the drop. Hmm. And that really distinguishes so beautifully holographic, mm-hmm. is that, you know, when you're looking, I said I was going to talk about the four aspects of knowing, but I'm talking about this for a second, because for each of the principles, there's a practice to, at least in some simple way, give yourself an experience of the distinction in your own life, as you said in the introduction, a direct personal experience, because that's how we integrate the wisdom. And, or you could say activate the wisdom, because the wisdom lives in each one of us, right? So we're mm-hmm. activating it. And in the distinction holistic and holographic, one of the practices, which I call recreations, recreating the distinction in your life, is to, you actually, it's one of the only written ones, you create, a list of things that you experience being incomplete with. Now, this does directly relate to radiance. I'm just realizing it as I'm saying it. And so, you know, we all have to-do lists, right? But mm-hmm. What this list is a list of things that are like loose ends for us. You know, things that are nagging at us. Mm-hmm. It could be things that we're never, ever going to do, because the idea is you write the list and then you complete three items, and there are different ways to complete it. You know, one is, excuse me, very obviously you could do it. You could delegate it. You could hire an expert. You could, you can be honest with yourself and say, I'm never going to do it, and that's one way of completing it. You could schedule it for tomorrow or into the future 10 years. So there's different ways of completing the items on your list. But the idea is that in this principle of life being holographic is that wherever we have a loose end, and I know that you'll appreciate this energetically, is that it's taking a little bit of our, it's fragmenting a little bit of our awareness. It's taking away a little bit of the energy, the radiant energy, the clarity that, and focus that each one of us want to live with. Because, you know, when do we feel? We want to feel good. We want to experience life, the richness of it, you know, the full tilt boogie, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so anything that takes away, and this is the idea of the practice, and it has a few purposes, this practice, because one is that you'll start to get complete, so that going forward in the book, in a life of conscious creation, that you know how to always create from a state of soundness, because that's what the idea of a whole is, that it has its own integrity. The integrity is a soundness. There are no loose ends, nothing hanging out, nothing pulling at you. Oh, I forgot to make that dental appointment. Whatever it is, these are the small things that nag at our and pull our energy. Mm-hmm. So when you do this list and you start to see that you can complete things, I can tell you that over the years, we've had people in our programs and clients who have said, just this one exercise literally transformed their life. They got free because they weren't weighted down by this. And so what happens is it frees your energy. So the other, you know, the profound purpose of this experience, giving yourself this experience where you see that, you know, as the old fighter boxer once said, Joey Lewis, wherever you go, you are there, you know. It's like the whole of you is present in everything. So even though you may feel like you're, you know, well, you know, I'm great when I'm, you know, coaching my clients, or, you know, but when I'm home, I go into a little bit of, you know, anxiety or reaction. Mm-hmm. But there's always that little piece of you in all of it. So the idea is that we can live with no static on the radio of our being when we get into the practice of being complete. And again, the idea is that you experience yourself, in yourself, this principle, holistic and holographic.
Wow, so, that's amazing. You experience yourself in yourself. So that's knowing you at many dimensions, I guess.
That's exactly right. And it's, you know, the idea is it's freeing. It really is. I mean, I do it as a regular practice because, you know, we have so many things and so many, especially in today's world where the complexity is just increasing every day. Every minute, practically, you know, you can go through a lifetime in a day of things changing and shifting. And so it really, it behooves all of us, especially those who are aware that we want to live our purpose. We want to be the best contribution that we can be. And one of the most important contributions we make and is what we emanate, what we vibrate. So the idea is that the more we can become established in that equanimity state, in that, or at least being able to return to it, you know, because we have circumstances. I mean, there's no question about it. And they're real and they're valid and they're coming at us, you know, from collectively, from our families, from whatever, from, you know, our own personal economy, the world economy. So the idea is that to live a life of mastery, the more we can become established in that state where even though all these different currents are coming toward us, that we're unwavering. We can deal with everything effectively because we are conditioning. It goes back to, you know, how are we conditioned? Condition like the automatic pilot is running off with us, or our
stress
we
reactions.
Now, right. Can condition ourselves to live beyond the automatic conditioning that I, you know, made up comes from the old world, mechanical worldview. So we became, at that stage of evolution, in many ways mechanical too. And now we can proactively condition ourselves to be in this quantum worldview, which, of course, includes spirituality. And, you know, I brought up about the four aspects of knowing. And the reason I brought this up is because many times we have, you know, something we want to do in life, let's say some kind of a goal. Make it very simple. And it's not happening. Or, you know, people say, well, I created an intention for this, or I call that a goal. And let's say it's, well, I was talking to someone earlier, and I'm just going to take something very simple. And he wants to produce a series of CDs, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he hasn't gotten around to it yet. So we all have whatever, the CD of our life, right?
Yeah.
That we haven't gotten around to it yet. And yet it's something you really, really want. You know, you have a high intent for it. So there is this distinction in quantum thinking called four aspects of knowing. And this is how, this is what the sage says. You can only manifest what you are conscious of being. You can only manifest what you are conscious of being. Now, this is the idea of resonance, law of attraction, that whatever we're holding in our being is getting manifest in some way. We're attracting that set of, you know, it's not only one thing, but it's many,
yeah,
many
right.
occurrences. So we're all, you know, we're vibrating many things, and most
right.
of it is good.
Right.
And so we have a lot of goodness, greatness, love, joy. I mean, you know, we tend, because of our old world conditioning, you know, on the negative, but we pick on, you know, somebody will tell you, right, 1,000 compliments, and then they'll tell you, but one little thing that,
mm-hmm.
a little
that's
critique,
what we focus on.
Right? What will you think about?
Yeah.
That one thing. And, you know, I once learned from Dr. Norman Shealy, I think you know him, that mm-hmm. he once said that scientifically, negative energy is more, it has more power than positive energy. It's not that positive energy isn't powerful, but it's more intense. It has a greater intensity. So therefore, for us to be emanating positive, we have to put, you know, we have to put, let's say, more effort. It's easier. The negative is easier to take over.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting thought that he has. But anyway, getting back to four aspects of knowing. So you have this goal, and the sage says, can only manifest what you're conscious of being. So what you're being is what you're holding in yourself. It, in a sense, it is you. So I ask this question that we can ask ourselves, Anne. How are you related to what you know? That's a funny question. And what I mean by what you know is whatever you would hold in your consciousness. It could be a result you want in this case.
Mm-hmm.
And so you could, the first aspect of knowing is the aspect I call unawareness. And this is where I'm saying we become flotsam and jetsam on the sea of life. We're in that reactive state, what I call the least action pathways. It's like something's, you know, it's like you become your circumstance. Right? A circumstance comes in, or it could be even a negative thought can be, or a doubtful thought can be a circumstance, or a real circumstance like, you know, you lost your job, and all of a sudden you become that. It's like there's no separation. It's not like you have a doubtful thought and you become the thought, you become the doubt, rather, and you're in the experience of doubt rather than being in the experience of the awareness that can see the doubt and not be at the effect of it. Okay, so unawareness. Now, the paradox of the state of unawareness is that as soon as you realize you're in the state of unawareness, you're no longer in the state of unawareness, right? Because you can mm-hmm. see it. Oh, and that can also happen where, you know, there's some reality going on, but you're just literally not aware of it. It could be, you know, the reality of healing through subtle energy fields, but maybe someone isn't aware of that. So it doesn't exist for them. That's a state of unawareness as well. First aspect of knowing, unawareness. The second aspect of knowing is conceptual knowing. And conceptual knowing, it's very important to really grasp this one, because that is the basic state that we see today, this disconnect in the world, where people, you know, where we think of ourselves as spiritual, as non-judgmental, as, you know, good, whatever, Christians, Jews, Muslims, you know, name the religion. And yet, our behavior doesn't match up. So what's going on is, you could say, there's that separation where it shows up like, the goal shows up like a good idea. Oh, that's a good idea. Right. I'll do a CD. Mm-hmm. And because that's the separation consciousness that's conditioned by that industrial age reductionistic worldview, where we see objects and people and the earth, right, as mm-hmm. separate from us. So in the case of the earth, we're not in the experience, per se, of just as we as human bodies have organisms living, you know, we're the host of many organisms on our body, that the earth is the host of us. We're the organisms living on the earth's body. It's all interconnected. And if we were really, as a humanity, in the experience of that connection, we certainly wouldn't treat the earth the way that we have been, right?
Mm, right.
So it's something like that. So conceptual reality is, oh, yeah, we love the earth, but there's a separation consciousness going on. And it's the same thing on a very practical level. As I said, you have a goal, but you're not really feeling it, to put it in common terms. Okay, second aspect of knowing. Now, the second aspect of knowing is great because it helps us order things, you know, like organize, categorize, analyze, you know, it helps us
in a certain way
manage life. So these are not bad. It's just distinguishing. The
right.
third aspect of knowing I call intuitive.
Okay, and, let's break for a commercial.
Okay.
Let's leave them hanging.
Okay.
For the other two. Okay, we'll be right back.
Real Life Solutions. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Have you figured out what's not working in your sex life? Could you use a little help? Join your host, Tamaran, for Let's Figure It Out Intimately. Tamaran has had both highs and lows in her sex life. She uses her experiences to teach you some basic techniques on how to create more fun, intimacy, and pleasure. Her guests also come from the sexual health and wellness industry. And together, Tamaran and her guests will help you get the sex life you've always longed for. Let's Figure It Out Intimately. Airs live every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Every weekend, take some time out of your schedule for New Reflections, featuring Dr. Adam Rubenstein. It's a show about all things aesthetic, from skincare to plastic surgery, health and beauty. You'll learn about the aesthetic products and procedures to embrace or avoid. Each show will feature live, virtual, interactive consultations that you'll be able to follow along with, and featured guests from the world of beauty and aesthetics. Listen Saturdays at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific, for New Reflections with Dr. Adam Rubenstein on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with your host, Dr. Ann Deatley. If you have a question or comment for Dr. Dietley or her guest, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to radiantenergydoctor@gmail.com. Now, back to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health.
You are back with Energy Medicine Optimal Health, Dr. Ann Dietley, the Radiant Energy Doctor. We're talking to Diane Collins, who is one of the foremost thought leaders of today, and she has written this amazing book, Do You Quantum Think? And I highly recommend it. So now, Diane, we are going to get back to the other two aspects of thinking.
Right, aspects of knowing, I call it.
Knowing, yeah.
It's how you relate it to what you know. In other words, whatever you're holding in mind, in your awareness, right, in your kind of conscious energy field, how are you related to it? So I went through the first aspect being in unawareness, which is your flotsam and jetsam, just in reaction to whatever's coming your way. The second one being conceptual, that you have something that is an idea or a notion, but there's a separation. You're not actually feeling it, being it. The third aspect of knowing, Anne, is intuitive. Now, intuitive knowing, I once remember Wayne Dyer, he's written so many books, but he was talking about the magic. I forget the exact title, but it's like, reminds me of that, where when you start to realize, let's say you have a goal, I'm using the idea of producing CDs, these were affirmation CDs actually, a real person I was talking to about this before. Mm-hmm. And so intuitive knowing would be where it's no longer just a good idea. You're actually feeling like you have a sense it's going to happen, that you're going to do it, that you're going to get that new job, that you're going to open, you know, extend your business in a new way, that you're going to attract in, you know, your most treasured mate for your life. It's like you start to actually have an experience that it's happening. You have a good sense that it's happening, and life becomes more magical. That's why I brought that up about the magic. And that, because in conceptual knowing, there's really nothing magical about it. It's all the push and shove, you know, the old mm-hmm. world, push on an object, push on circumstances to try to get something to happen. So it's mm-hmm. not real magic in there, you know?
Right.
So intuitive, it's like you're starting to make the non-local mind field connections, that energy intelligent connection. Yet, there still is not certainty. It's not like you are fully owning this is happening. Even if it hasn't manifested yet, even if it hasn't, even if you don't know how it's going to happen, and this is really the really wonderful, magical thing about, you know, living from a quantum think, a quantum worldview, is that you don't have to know how something's going to happen if you understand the faculties of mind and how to use the power of intent and intuition and, you know, tuning into energy fields and watching for the opportunities and like that. So that's what mm-hmm. makes it so exciting. So mm-hmm. the intuitive knowing, you're almost there, but not quite certain. Now, the fourth aspect of knowing, which is the domain of intent. Intent as the active dynamic of creation that we've been born with. Intent, as said in the shamanic sense, activates the energy field, energy intelligent field that that attracts, that creates a resonance, and so we attract many results consistent with our intent. Now, participatory knowing means exactly that. You realize, you're in the full realization that you are the seed, the blossom, and the fruit of your own result, of your own experience. And this is really, you know, the observer effect, the observer-created reality, or said in spiritual terms, the world exists on the screen of your own consciousness, is that you realize, you know, well, in what way do we create our reality? Well, what we hold in mind, what we hold in our being, is our reality at any given moment in space-time. So participatory knowing with regard to a result, and I like to use something, you know, very ordinary so that people understand the experience of it, it would be as if, like, if you have a child and you know that your child will eat today, if you're fortunate enough to be in the part of the world where that, where you can know that. It's like you don't have to think about it. You don't, it's just, it's in you. It doesn't even actually have to be spoken. You know, I'm taking a very, very fundamental example, but just to give the idea of this is participatory knowing. So what happens is that it's a very interesting thing. So you start, people start, you know, reading the principles, the distinctions of quantum thinking. And when you start out, you're still doing the linear process, step by step, distinction, you know, principle by principle. And then all of a sudden, the system takes over. And you're it part of that system. And what happens is when people have, you know, they start out with a goal where, well, why isn't it happening? And you use this four aspects of knowing as a kind of a self-assessment, a gauge. Oh, no wonder I'm, you know, what was the goal again? You know, that's unawareness. Yeah. Or conceptual is like, what did I say I want? Oh, yeah, I did want to do that, but they're not feeling it. And then you, they realize at some point the real power of intent. And there's like something flips, like a real-life quantum leap within themselves, where all of a sudden you just know, you know what? Oh, yeah, that CD is getting produced. And, of course, you have to take actions. This isn't something where, you know, it's not like wishful thinking where you sit back, you're in your chair, okay, CD, get produced, you know. And it's
right.
Just, it isn't, that's not the nature of life. Yeah. You brought about, the you know, talked about the many dimensions. So you have to take action in the physical, but you're doing it in the knowing that it is happening. So in our programs, we would say, you know, people would say, well, they would measure the whatever they were working on, the intended quantum result, which was measurable. And in the beginning, they would say, well, okay, well, I'm 25% there. And then once they were in participatory knowing the state of it, they'd say I'm 100%, even though it hadn't fully, totally unfolded in the physical world. They would announce, I'm 100%, because when you're quantum thinking, you realize you can only manifest what you are conscious of being. And that's how intent works. It works as a context that you operate from rather than a goal that you are trying to get to. So I say it that paradoxically, in the quantum world, you start with the result. You're functioning as if you're already the producer of that CD. And now you just take the necessary actions. So that's the four aspects of knowing. And that's how
beautiful
you know, you have the realization, why aren't I manifesting what I want? Well, maybe it's because you're still in conceptual knowing about it. And how do you make the leap to participatory knowing? The first thing is awareness that you're not. And the second thing is, like everything, it starts with your intent.
Beautiful. Wow.
So we can use this kind of process to get more into the participatory knowing state.
Exactly. So
that, yeah.
That's exactly it. And, you know, Patanjali, who was one of, I guess, like the father of yoga or something, but he said, you know, there are all these different ways to become enlightened, to become awakened.
Mm.
And he said, you know, if all, he didn't say this, but I'm paraphrasing the I'm paraphrasing the translation of the translation, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you, I know we'll all get the idea of it, is that when all else fails, you can wake up from realizing that you're asleep.
Mm.
So it's like that.
Yeah.
You know, you notice, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I'm in a state of unawareness here. I'm identifying with a thought I have that I don't have to identify with that thought. I don't have to believe that thought. It's just a thought coming in from the mind field surrounding me. And now, how do I want to be related to that thought? Oh, just like that. And what is my intent now?
Mm. We only have a few minutes left, unfortunately. Can you just briefly talk about thinking from infinite possibility? Because I think this segues very nicely from what you've already talked about.
Thinking from infinite possibility. Well, I'd like to know, what were you thinking about with regard to that?
Well, I think the whole idea about going into quantum thinking is that from the mechanistic view is that only what you see, hear, feel, touch, and only what you can see, all the dimensions that we live in is the only thing, is the real deal. But
Right. Infinite
possibility, you know, when you really realize that you are a part of this holographic universe, then anything is possible. I mean, you're not limited. You have no limits.
You really
and this
don't.
Is what we really, and I, you know, I see that your book is really trying to inspire people to just break through, you know, that the barriers that you've been living with the old view thinking, and really, what do you really want? You know, how big is your dream? And get out there and you can do it.
Yes, you can. And, you know, what you're saying is actually, I like to say it's true. It's actual fact. It's not, you know, and I try to be a little bit funny and do quantum thing. You know, it's not just a motivational hype. We really do have that power. And it is inspiring to know that we have that. And so the idea of infinite possibility is that in every moment that, you know, from, let's say, from the quantum worldview, it's a view of, you know, life exists as cloud of possibility, and what turns it into actuality is a human observer kind of locking into something. So it's like in every moment there are an infinite number of ways that we can put our mind and make a reality, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have to realize because of the, what we could say, many dimensions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Things begin in the invisible, in the possible realm, and we have a thought, right? We have an intent expressed as thought, experienced as a feeling tone manifests, and then eventually, because of sympathetic resonance, the fact of science of it, it will in some way manifest in the real, you know, in the physical, the actual world. But you can literally change your state instantaneously. You can instantaneously affect a transformation in your relationships, in the relational field with another person, because we're not yet in the physical.
Right.
But when you change your state with another person, an intent for your relational field, for you know, how we want to be together. how we want to experience one another. That's an instantaneous, because we're not dealing in the dense physical matter. It's like the same thing, you know, when you think about healing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where you can heal more effectively while you're still in the energetic and the subtle energy realms.
Right.
And then once it gets into the physical, well, then it may be a slower process.
Right.
Maybe
so
not.
You always want to clear things in the energy first.
Exactly.
Always think energy first, yeah.
So thinking from infinite possibility is that, you know, it comes to that, what I say, the heart of the matter of how did the old worldview condition us according to the circumstances, according to what we can see, feel, touch, taste, smell, right? The five sensory reality where things look, things appear fixed and solid. And in the quantum worldview, you know, I say old worldview, circumstance rules, new worldview, intent rules, because what you realize is from the quantum worldview that it is, as you said, Anne, a world of infinite possibility where you don't have to be stuck with any existing circumstance. Now, I'm not saying the circumstance isn't there, but you can transform. You can create a new relationship with the circumstance so that you can say, you know what? Just because I've never been a public speaker for the last 10 years, that's the circumstance, doesn't mean I can't now be a public speaker or have my own show.
Yeah, so let's just end with when you master your mind, you master your life, and you can live radiantly. Thank you, everybody.
That was beautiful. Thank you.
Have a wonderful holiday season. And we'll have to talk to you again.
Love to.
Thank you, Diane. You're wonderful.
Thank you so much, Anne.
You're welcome.
You've been listening to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with Dr. Anne Dietley. Please join us again next Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Thank you again for tuning in.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.